This is Journey Church Podcast. Here at Journey, we believe in encountering God and embracing people. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Amazing. Welcome to church, everybody. How's it going? Oh, okay. All right. We got some work to do. It's okay. I'm going to ask that at the end of service, and we'll try again. My name is Harmon. If we haven't had the pleasure to meet yet, I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and today I get the opportunity to speak with you. And if we haven't met, I'd love to meet. You know, I love meeting new people. Does anyone like meeting new people? Okay, does someone, like, despise meeting new people? I see that hand. That's okay. You're still welcome here. I'm going to come meet you after. No, I'm just kidding. I just made a mental note of everybody. As Pastor Chris mentioned, Pastor Jess and Dave are not here, okay? And last night we had like a potluck here at the church, which to me that's like classic church, okay? Like if I think of like classic church when I was like in my teens, potluck was like classic church, and it's the best because you can show up and you could bring food, but you could also not bring food and still get food. It's like the best deal, okay? It's like the best deal. But there was an Asian food night, and there's about 100 people upstairs, jam-packed in our upper auditorium, and we just had some of the best food. And so if you didn't know about that, listen, I don't know what to tell you. You missed out. Join the next one. It was the best food ever. I brought samosas, and I had one of my own samosas. Is that weird to come to a potluck and then eat your own food? I just knew it was going to be good. So I was like, why experiment? So like, obviously I experimented a little bit, but anyways, I had a good samosa. It was great. But anyways, the reason I tell you about that is at that event, I told people, tomorrow I get to preach and Pastor Jess and Dave are away. And they went, oh, why are they away? And I was like, you were not at church last Sunday. And you just told me, you just gave it away. That's okay. But, you know, the reason Pastor Jess and Dave are away is last week, if you weren't here, just to give you a quick little update, we had World Vision come through. And if you've been around church long enough, you know, every once in a while, every couple years, we'll have, a sponsorship team come through and we get to sponsor kids. And if you've been in church before or in any type of a sponsoring scenario, how it usually works is, you know, someone will share a message that's inspiring and good, and it pulls on your heartstrings, and then you go out to the lobby, and you see all these photos of all these kids, and you pick one, right? And you pick it, and you take it home, and you sign up, and that worked for a lot of years, but what World Vision was doing is something a little bit different. And so last week, what we did as a church is that kind of had the same inspirational message, and there's that video that I cried to like 4 times. Like, it was the worst and the best video ever. Would anyone else cry? Like, I just remember people were just, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And so we go out to the lobby, but instead of picking photos of the kids that we were going to sponsor, instead, we got our own photo taken. And that photo then was printed out, and Pastor Jess and Dave grabbed a stack of 102 photos and took them to Kenya, near Nairobi, where we kind of set up with World Vision a space for these kids to walk into a room and see the faces of all of you, all of our church, and got to pick out you instead of you picking out them. And it's this powerful moment for these kids to be given the choice of seeing someone. And so Pastor Jess and Dave, they sent a little bit of an update video, and so we're just going to watch that now. Can we take a look at the screens?
1, 2, 3. Church.
We're here in Mathori Valley.
We can
right
restart
now,
this with some sound. That would be glorious. That would be amazing. We'll try that one more time.
1, 2, 3. Hey, Journey Church.
We're here in Mathori Valley right now, and we are visiting the area that you have where you sponsor kids. And right now we're like in a playground. Where kids play, and we are so grateful that so many of you said yes to helping in roads, some of the roads, poorest people, that you know God has something good, that God is moving here, and I don't think our lives will ever be the same.
You know, Jess is saying it's a playground. It's not much of a playground, actually. It's a slum. It's a dump. But there's hope. There's a lot of hope. And we're so thankful that as a church, we're providing some of that hope. And so we'll just show you some scenes so you can continue praying for us. We'll see you next Sunday as we are arriving, probably the same time you're watching this. So here's some of the shots of those who are around us.
You guys want to say hi?
Say hi.
Say hi. Hi. Come on. You could see Pastor Jess getting a little bit emotional standing in that spot and, you know, seeing these kids play in a dirt square as their playground. And knowing Jess, we're probably going to be building a playground soon. So I'm just gonna put that out there. I'm expecting that conversation as they come back. We're going to be raising money for a new playground in that spot. And I'm excited that we as a church, like Pastor Chris already said, that we get to not only do the things that help the people right outside our doors, but we get to help those globally. And who, you know, like we're not getting a kickback, you know, from these people. Like there's really no benefit other than we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus and show love to people who are hurting. And so that's exciting. Are you excited to be part of a church like that? I am. Yeah, come on. Well, today we're continuing in our series called It's Time. And I know many of you, okay, have been bombarding my wife, okay? She made that intro video, and you've been wondering, what shoes is that girl wearing? Okay, she's had like 15 people come up. And so this week, part of my research for my sermon was to figure out what shoes that girl was wearing. And I will be selling that secret for $20 in the lobby after the service, all right? So if you want to come see me, that's great. But today, we are going to be continuing that series. And if you've been here over the last 2 months, we've been looking at the words and the miracles of Jesus. Okay, and they've been some powerful ones. We've looked at, you know, the feeding of the 5,000, Lazarus being raised, Peter walking on water, like just some crazy miracles, and even that Matthew 25 challenge, hearing the powerful words of the challenge that Jesus gives to his believers. But today, we are going to be looking at Luke 5, and it's another miracle of Jesus, and it's one of my favorite. I think it's probably my top miracle, if I can think of it, in the Bible. And so let's read this together. Luke 5, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, or it'll be on the screen as well. But this is what it says. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, that your sins are forgiven, or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising. 7 verses that, you know, if you read the there's not a ton of details, but I want to go through this story again, because this is one of the coolest stories you could ever find, okay? Just, I want you to picture this with me for a second, all right? You have a friend who's been paralyzed for a significant amount of time, and you're starting to hear stories, and people are starting to talk about this guy named Jesus who heals people. He's able to heal people. And there's this miracle worker around your town. And so you hear this guy, Jesus, he's coming to your town. And so there's huge crowds that are forming, chasing after this guy named Jesus. And so you decide, "Hey, listen, we got our friend. There's no name given. But, you know, to me, the name Steve was really good. And so bear with me here a little bit. I pictured a paralyzed man. I thought his name was Steve." If you are Steve, and anyways, we're not going to use the name Steve. I'm actually moving on from that. But You picture your friend, and he's paralyzed, and you think, listen, this is our one shot, man. Like, there's this guy named Jesus. He's a miracle worker. He's a healer. Our friend needs healing. Okay, let's figure this out. We got to get this guy to this guy so that he can be healed. And so you're carrying your friend to this home that Jesus is at, and it is packed, okay? Like the most like non-COVID friendly space you could ever find in your life, okay? It's like everyone's breathing, touch, like everyone is just, it's packed, okay? This tiny house, there's people outside the house, there's people looking through the window, and you're thinking, how are we ever gonna get through this crowd? And you have that one friend, and we all have this one friend, okay? Who has dumb ideas that sound really smart in the moment. Okay, and he go, and then they go, hey, what if we climb the roof and we cut a hole in the roof and then we lower him like Britney Spears into the middle of the room? And in that moment, you're thinking, that's genius. Let's do it. Let's do it. And so these guys, they get up on top of the house. And, yeah, and just picture this. These houses are made out of stone. And so all of a sudden, you start hearing these footsteps like, And so you're listening to these footsteps on top of the roof, and there's dust falling, and all of a sudden they start cutting a hole in the tile, the rock, and they lift the rock out, and a beam of light shoots down into the house. And there's dust everywhere, there's this beam of light, and all of a sudden you see this guy on a mat being lowered down into the house, and you're just thinking, what is going on? Okay, just imagine yourself in this story. And so Jesus, he sees this. He sees this man being lowered down into the house, and he looks at them and says, friend, your sins are forgiven. It says that he saw their faith. And the first thing he does is he says, your sins are forgiven. And see, Jesus, I like to think, was being a little cheeky because he knew who was around that circle. Because he knew the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They started to think, and they began to think to themselves, who is this fellow? Have you ever thought that to yourself? You're like driving down the road, someone cuts you off, you're like, who is this fellow? Anyways, maybe just me. That's not usually my first response. Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And it says Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? He says, what's easier, for me to forgive this man's sins or to do, in your eyes, a greater miracle and to actually heal him? And he said, watch, I'm going to do both. And he says to this man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home praising God. Man, aren't you so thankful for that friend with that dumb idea to get on top of the roof? That guy was. He for sure was. And so, you know, maybe let's just put ourselves in the mind of this paralyzed man for a second. All right? He spent his whole life paralyzed, unable to move. People passing by him, and especially in that culture, would have just been off to the side, marginalized. And I can just picture him going, God, why? Why? Why did you make me like this? I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've looked up and gone, God, why? Why does my life look like this? But I can picture that man, that paralyzed man, doing that very thing, going, God, why am I like this? Not knowing that one day God was going to show up in his life and flip the script and change his story. You know, I was scrolling through Facebook, and I came across this post from a friend of mine, and I got his permission today to share this with you. And it wasn't an easy thing to share, but I was reading this, and it was a poem that he had written, and I wanted to read it today for you. And this is what the poem says. It'll be on the screen, and it's entitled, This I Know to Be True. This I Know to Be True. God doesn't have a plan for my life. Nobody can convince me that there's a place for me in the church. At the end of the day, God doesn't love people like me. I'm not going to pretend I somehow feel accepted by him. The truth is, God doesn't care, and I feel rejected. And for years, this has been my complaint. In fact, I cannot stress this enough. God doesn't want to hear what I have to say. My voice doesn't matter. I cannot accept that God gives people second chances. See, this has been my experience. I cannot believe that I have a redemption story. This I know to be true. And see, as I was reading this, maybe you know somebody who has felt like that, where they've thought church is not a place for them, that God is not for them. Has anyone, do you know anyone like that? People who just feel like there's no way a God could be loving or kind or true. I don't have a redemption story. There's no place for me in the church. And see, this poem, it made me sad because that has been the complete opposite for me. See, my experience in church has been so different. You know, I wanted to share just a little bit of my testimony because I felt like, oh man, if you would have seen the cards that I was dealt, it would not lead you to believe that I'd be standing here on this stage preaching. You know, I grew up in a Sikh home, not a Christian home. And I had no Christian friends or Christian people around me growing up. And so I went to temple every day. And no one in my family ever thought that I would be a Christian pastor, let alone me. But just like that paralyzed man, God is in the business of changing stories. See, my story looks like this. I was 13 years old, and I was in junior high, and my friend Michael, bless his heart, amazing guy, he invited me to church, not for worship or preaching. He invited me for corn dogs, because that's what they were serving at the after-school program that the church was running. And he said, hey, man, do you want to come play Halo and eat some corn dogs? And I said, those are the two greatest things a 13-year-old could ever get, corn dogs and Halo. And so I go to this after-school program, and through this after-school program, I come to church, and I start to listen to people talking about Jesus, and then all of a sudden, one day, I was at this retreat, and I experienced God for the first time. And I thought, man, there's no way I could ever deny this, right? My friends didn't lower me through the roof, but there's this moment, and maybe many of you have experienced a moment like this where you just went, I know God is real. I can't deny it. I know God is real. Now, that's what it was for me. In that moment, I realized God is real, and this guy that they're talking about at the front, Jesus, there's clearly something really good about him. And so I began to read my Bible, and I began to study it, and I realized, man, I want to become a Christian. See, my story, you know, the hope would be that after that, it was just, you know, up and to the right. You know, just like amazing thing after amazing thing, but it wasn't. There was a moment that I had to tell my father and mother, who were Sikhs lifelong, that I wanted to be a Christian. Not only a Christian, mom and dad, I want to be a pastor. And my dad looks at me and he says, get out of my house. You're no longer my son. Leave. And to this day, those words shake me every time I share this story. And so it's not always rainbows and sunshine. Sometimes you're born paralyzed, and life is hard. Sometimes you have things that happen to you that are difficult, where you don't think this is God's plan. But like I said, God is in the business of changing stories, and he changed mine. And although that battle and that fight hasn't ended, I pray for my family daily. Every morning when I wake up, I pray for my family. And you know what I'm so thankful for? Is Michael showing me love that day. He befriended me. He didn't hide his faith, but instead he invited me to come and learn. He showed me love. He cared about me. And so today, I want to go through just 4 points. And I thought it was important that we looked at this, especially in the season that our church is in. I want to talk about 4 different kinds of love that we can show individuals. And so the first one is the love for equals, all right? This is the most natural of loves, all right? It is the love for those who are like you and who know you and are known by you. These are the people that we see every single day. And this is the kind of love that the world smiles at. You know, a love a friend to a friend, a brother to a brother, a sister to a sister, friendship. This is the love that we like to offer. And it's one of the easiest loves that we can give, right? A love for our equals. The second kind of love, all right, is a love for the less fortunate. All right? And this is a beautiful thing, right? The love for those who suffer, for those who are poor, the sick, the failures, the unlovely, the least of all. You know, this is actually compassion. And it touches the heart of the world. And all will tell you, it is a good thing to love those who are less fortunate. You know, I remember as a kid, I think I've shared this story before. I remember when I was a kid, I'd wake up on Saturday mornings to watch cartoons. And this was back in the day when we had VCRs. If you're under the age of 15, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay, but if you're a little bit older, you remember VCRs, right? It's like new technology. It was different, right? And with my TV, I don't know if it was because it was too old or if it was new. I don't know how it worked, but I had to not only turn the TV on, but then the cable was through the VCR, so you had to turn the VCR on. And when you turn the VCR, like, all the young people are looking at me like, what am I talking about? Like, it's not a rocket ship. It's just a VCR. Anyways, you turn the VCR on, and it would always default, at least in my house, to Channel 3. And Channel 3 was the World Vision channel. Okay, and so I would wake up Saturday morning ready to watch, like, SpongeBob or something. That's an inappropriate show nowadays. Anyways, not the greatest. Don't let your kids watch SpongeBob. Now that I'm a parent, I'm like, how do my parents let me watch this show? Teaches you, anyways, if you worked on SpongeBob and you're from Nickelodeon, I'm so sorry. But you'd wake up and you'd want to watch some cartoons as a kid, and the World Vision channel would be on, and I could not unglue my eyes. I felt so guilty. I would just sit there and watch the World Vision channel and watch these kids, like the poorest of poor kids, and I remember just thinking, I can't do anything. I can't help them, but there's no way I can change the channel because that's like a grave sin. That'd be horrible, all right? But that's what that was compassion, right? In my heart, I just felt so bad. And so this love for the less fortunate, all right, it's a love that the world smiles at. No one is going to get mad at you for helping poor people. No one's going to get mad at you for helping the less fortunate. Well, actually, maybe that's not. If you've been here the last couple weeks. Anyways, we're gonna move on. I'm not going to touch that. I'm just going to leave that for senior leadership. All right. Love for the more fortunate. We're going to keep moving forward. Love for the more fortunate. All right? This is a rare thing. All right? Love for the more fortunate. To love those who succeed where we fail, to rejoice without envy with those who rejoice. See, this is the kind of love that is difficult to produce in your life. You know, and I think back to when this love was difficult for me to produce. I think back to volleyball in high school. I know I don't look like it now, but I was an all-star athlete, okay? Unbelievably talented, gifted as a 5'4" volleyball player. And I remember I tried out for the volleyball team in grade 10, and I made the team. And I didn't make it as a libero. Okay, if you have no idea about volleyball terms, I'm so sorry. This next 5 minutes is gonna be horrible for you, okay? But I didn't make it as like a setter. No, I made it as a middle, okay? As a middle, because I had hops. Okay, I was the Michael Jordan of Diefenbaker High School, okay? I could jump. And so I go into grade 10, and I make the team. I only ever started playing volleyball in grade 9. So to even just make the team in high school was like a huge accomplishment. And, you know, if you know anything about high school sports, maybe you have kids in high school, or maybe you are in high school, you know, the grade 11s kind of get to pick and choose, at least when I was in sports. They could either, you know, move up and play with the grade 12s, or they could come down to the grade 10s and crush them, all right? They have a whole extra year of puberty. They have a whole extra year of getting muscled, getting height, jumping. And so I showed up in grade 10, and it was awesome. I was starting, okay? There was grade 11s on our team, and they were not so great. That's why they made the junior team, all right? And I somehow was able to get a starting spot on the volleyball team at my high school. I felt like I was on top of the world playing middle. And then grade 11 rolled around, and I somehow made the senior team. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, either this is the Lord, or like, they just don't know how to play volleyball, because I'm so short, and somehow I keep getting asked to play middle. And the guys who are playing middle are legit, like, 6 foot tall, seven, like, they're literally giants. They're giants. And so grade 11 rolls around, and I'm on the senior team, and this is when life gets a little bit difficult, okay? I realize that there's two other middles on our volleyball team in high school, and they are giants. Like, one of them was a club player, and the other one was literally just a freak of nature, and was just like, he was just like so tall. He literally didn't even jump. This is how he would jump. And he would be like 2 feet over the net. It was insane. And so I am sitting on the bench every single game. Not a single game on the court. I am on the bench. All of grade 11. All right. I'd get subbed in for half a set, and they'd sub me right back out. And they'd go, my coach, my assistant coach, KP, he'd always say, it's okay, Harm. Just be patient. Listen, just be patient. Keep working hard. We're gonna put you in. So then I get to grade 12, all right? And again, we're at this tournament, and I'm waiting. It's my grade 12 year. I sat the entire last year on the bench. Am I gonna get my opportunity in grade 12? Nope. We go to a tournament, and this is the spot where you think you would get to play. We're doing like 6 or 7 games in one day, but some reason our coaches really wanted to win the tournament. And so I sat the first game, the second game, the third game, the fourth game, the fifth game. And in the sixth game, I played half a set and then got sat back right on the bench in the middle of a tournament. I was frustrated. And then one of the guys got injured and I got to play the rest of the season, which was awesome. But in that moment, love for the more fortunate wasn't on my mind. It wasn't. You know, to cheer for somebody who gets the job when you don't. To be thankful for someone and to love someone when they get the promotion and you don't. When they get the raise and you don't. When they get the spot that you were fighting your kid for on that soccer team. You're fighting the coach for your kid. When another kid gets it and yours doesn't. You're not thinking of love for the more fortunate. Right? It's a hard love to give. And this is the last love. Love for the enemy. And this is what we'd call the non-existent love. Love for the one who does not love you, but mocks you. And they threaten you. And they inflict pain on you. You know, they actually call it the tortured's love for the torturer. And this is God's love. And it conquers the world. See, Jesus was the only one who ever said, love your enemies. And even when we were enemies of God, he showed up. He found us. And the Bible actually gives a definition of love. It's in 1 John 3:16 to 24. This is what it says. It says, this is how we know what love is. All right, it's a pretty good definition starter. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. The truth is that if we think that we can love people without ever telling them about Jesus, we're mistaken. You know, in the last number of years, it seems like even Christians or people of the faith would think that it's wrong to tell people about Jesus. And you know, and I think we sense this as well, right? It's like when we're at work and someone asks, what do you do on the weekend? And you never say church, right? We have a hesitancy to tell people about Jesus. We have a hesitancy to tell people that we're church people, that we're Christians. And I really think this is because we haven't encountered the real living Jesus. Because if you've encountered the real living Jesus and he's changed your life, man, there's not a soul on this earth that you don't want to tell about his goodness. That he's a good God who loves you, who cares for you. And so this image that we are given of Christ, of what love looks like, is laying down his life for us. That's the example of what it is meant to love. And so the Son leaves his position on the throne, like we sang about today, his comfort, his glory, and he comes to earth for his Father's will to be carried out. It's that self-sacrificial love that Jesus shows us and he calls us to also have for others. And so today, what I want to ask you is who are the people in your life who need to hear about Jesus? Who are the people in your life that you can show love to? Who you can show God's goodness to? Because like I said before, God is in the business of changing lives. He changed my life. See, the trajectory of my life completely changed when I encountered Jesus. And I know that's the story for many of you. The moment you encountered Jesus, your life was transformed and it changed. And it's because of my friend Michael. You know, and that poem that I had mentioned earlier of my friend Adam, you know, I actually want to share that again because I think it's a really good illustration of what God is trying to do and trying to show us today. So can we bring that poem back up? You know, this I know to be true, that God doesn't have a plan for my life, that God doesn't love people like me, that God doesn't care and I feel rejected. The truth is that God changes stories and he can change your story too. And that's why if you read this poem backwards, it reads very differently. I have a redemption story. I cannot believe this has been my experience. God gives people second chances. I cannot accept that my voice doesn't matter and that God doesn't want to hear what I have to say. In fact, I cannot stress this enough. For years, this has been my complaint, that God doesn't care and that I feel rejected. The truth is, I somehow feel accepted by him. I'm not going to pretend that God doesn't love people like me. At the end of the day, there is a place for me in the church. Nobody can convince me that God doesn't have a plan for my life. This I know to be true. See, every story, yours, mine, there's two narratives. There's two perspectives. There's your way of looking at it, the world's way of looking at it, and there's God's way of looking at it. And so when you read it with your eyes, you read a story where God isn't there, that you're not accepted by him, that he doesn't want to hear what you have to say. But when you realize that God can take that same story and flip the script, that he can take your story and flip it, that he's in the business of doing that. And then all of a sudden, you realize that God does give people second chances. That in fact, you can be accepted by him. That there is a place for you in church. And this is a truth that is not only for you, but it's for those around you. Here's the truth, is that God changes stories. And he can change yours too. You know, for me, it was my friend Michael who invited me. For my friend Adam, who wrote this poem, it was his wife Shandy. She was used by God to help flip his story. The paralyzed man, he had some friends that had a crazy idea, and they literally carried him to Jesus. And so let God flip your story. Let God change your story. And then step two, bring people to Jesus and allow their stories to be changed like yours was. Don't hold out on them. Don't hold out on them. And so there's two people that I want to talk to today. And maybe, you know, one of the first person, you know, would be maybe you're sitting in this room and you're thinking, man, I don't even know why I'm sitting here. I don't even know why I'm in church. And maybe you felt numb and you thought this might be, you know, a good chance to figure it out. And you read that poem the first time, and you said, that's me. I don't feel accepted by him. Can I tell you that God is here to transform your life? That God is here to flip your story? He can do it today, I believe. And then there's the second person. And maybe you've had your story changed. That you know God's goodness, that you've experienced it. But you haven't shared your faith. You've never gone that extra step and said, hey, My life has been transformed. My life has been changed. And who am I close to that I could grab on and bring them to Jesus? I think for both people, God is here today to say, I'm with you. I'm here for you. I'm going to walk with you. We're going to change your story. We're going to help change others' stories. And so I want to pray, and the band is going to come up and sing, and we're going to have a moment in worship. But I want to pray that God would encounter you in this moment right now. That if you feel far from him, if you feel like he's not there, that he would make himself known. That he would remind you of your testimony, of his goodness, of how he rescued you when there was no other way, when he found you and you were broken, when he healed you. I pray that that would be on your mind. And so Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for these reminders, God, how you've called us to love people, how you've called us to reach out to those around us and show your love. God, I pray that we would have that heart of changed stories, that we would have that heart knowing that you rescued us so that we can help rescue others. God, I pray that we would have that in our heart. And I pray for that person today who's here for the first time or who doesn't know you. God, I pray that you would flip their story. God, even right now in their mind are the things that are coming that are negative, and the things that are wrong with themselves or wrong with their life. And God, you're about to walk into that space and you're about to speak life. You're about to renew their mind. You're about to give them a new heart. So I thank you, Jesus, for the work that you're doing in this house. In your name we pray. Amen. The worship team is going to lead us, and then Pastor Logan is going to come and close. But why don't you stand with me and let's sing to our King.
Thank you for joining us today on Journey Church Podcast. For more information about our ministry, visit myjourney.church.